first-time buyer, a seasoned investor, or thinking about selling, we have the insights you need. Your host, Larry Shackman,
the real estate therapist and a top-producing broker, will break it down weekly.
We'll dive deep into market trends and speak with industry pros about everything from pricing and negotiation strategies and staging tips to financing options and home inspections.
This fast-paced, ever-evolving market doesn't have to be overwhelming. We are here to guide you through it. Today's show is brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Get your market value, explore your selling options, and choose your closing date. Go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and do real estate your way. You've got options. Licensed in Illinois. Number 475-145-795. Now, let's dive in. Here's Larry.
All right, you guys, welcome back to Real Estate Radio. We're happy to have you here. It is Thursday, the 24th of October. We are quickly approaching Halloween and another big day. Of course, the election's coming up in less than 2 weeks. So a lot going on. We have a great guest today, George McCleary. Listen, if you are a real estate investor, a landlord, grab a cup of coffee, pull up a seat, because we're going to blow your mind with some stories here. Before we get into it and bring George on, and we'll bring him on right after our first break here shortly, I want to give you guys, you know, we're in fall now, we're quickly heading into winter, and I'm sure like George does with all his investment properties, and like others do, there are things you want to really do before we get into the thick of winter on your property. So I'm going to give you five things that you really want to check out before winter settles in. And I don't know how winter settles in Oregon. George will tell us about that, but I know how it settles in Chicago. So the first thing is you want to check your chimney. Get up on the roof or get a drone up there. Check it out. Clean. Make sure also before you use the chimney every winter, you check it out. Make sure it doesn't need cleaning. If it does, get it cleaned. But get up on the roof and check it out as well. While you're up on the roof, the second thing you want to check out is the roof. Make sure there's no areas on your roof that are compromised, shingles needing to be replaced. You don't want to have to deal with any of that in the middle of winter. The third thing is obvious. You know, you're heading into winter. We get sub-zero temps here in Chicago on a regular basis in the winter with freeze factor. We can get to 30 below. So make sure that furnace is running at its optimal level. Get it checked, get it tuned, get it cleaned so that you don't wake up one night and you're sitting in a 40-degree house. The next thing is what I call a caulk walk, C-A-U-L-K. You want to walk around your house. You want to check the caulk on all the exterior windows. And also, when you get back in the house, make sure there's no... you don't have any airflow coming in through any of the windows or the doors for that matter. The last thing you want to check, and this is important, is your gutters. Make sure those gutters are cleaned out, sticks are removed, leaves are removed, any debris in there is removed because you don't want that to freeze, then melt, get an ice dam, get damage to your house, damage to your roof. So make sure that you check these five things going into winter. It could save you a lot of heartache. So like I said, we have a great guest coming on, George McCleary. And we're going to take a quick 30-second break, and then we're going to bring George on.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, we are back, and there he is, the handsome man, George McCleary. George, how's it going?
I'm doing great, Larry. How are you doing this morning?
Awesome. Glad to have you on, and I am looking forward to this. I know the last time you were scheduled, we had a little mix up, but I'm glad to have you on now because, you know, it's funny. If someone steals your car, right, they're going to jail.
Yep.
You assume, right?
You'd hope so.
If someone steals your house, they get free legal services, free rent, and $10,000 when they're walking out the door.
Yeah, and, or more.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's all true. It's crazy.
Yeah, and before we get really jump into it, I want to play your viral video that got tens of millions of views across all social platforms. And then once we come back, you'll introduce yourself, just give people a little quick thumbnail of your past, how you got to where you are, and how you're helping people with these crazy problems.
Yeah.
So, which is specifically squatting, title theft, and other, you know, other
real estate
scams.
Yeah, yeah, the right? Scams, the ship.
All right. Let's take a look at this video.
We got sound on this, Larry?
So, George, I am acutely aware of these problems because I was one of the largest REO brokers in Illinois from 2008 to about 2017.
Wow.
When we went through that entire mess. Right?
You've seen some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've seen it. And so give everybody a little insight into your background, the companies you're involved with, how you help people, and then we'll jump into some of the horror stories for Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect timing, right?
Right.
George McCleary, a real estate investor, developer, been in the game about 20 years at this point, which is crazy to say. It's flown by. Own a rental portfolio. I've acted as a landlord, a developer. I've worn a ton of hats in the real estate industry, but mainly just as a property owner, investor, and developer, house flipper. And during that time, I've sold tons of homes as a broker, flipped a ton of houses, I've developed apartments, developing industrial right now. But I've also taken a particular interest in sort of in the policies and of my local area of Portland and other states for that matter as well, and how they affect my livelihood as a real estate broker and investor. And one of those issues that really started to get under my skin, it was last winter, was squatting. So I've never had a full-blown scammer squatter, like a professional one. I've just had like homeless people wander into my development projects and we say, hey man, you got to move along, and they grumble and they move along. But a few of my colleagues have had to deal with what I would call like the professional scammers, the professional squatters. These are people that are putting utilities in their name, faking leases, and doing a premeditated attack to try and scam their way into occupying a property without permission, trespassing, gaining the bundle of rights that are afforded to tenants under landlord-tenant law, and sticking around for as long as they can, scamming as much rent and free money as they can, and then not being held accountable. So this had happened to some of my colleagues. I thought this was just crazy. So I made the I Stole a House video, which we just watched, and I uploaded it on Super Bowl Sunday of all days. I uploaded the video and turned the game on and left it alone. And then, you know, during a timeout, I looked at my phone and notifications like exploded. I'd never seen anything like that. I'd never had that feeling before of like, and I knew immediately. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be big. And it was on TikTok. So it was one of those things where, you know, you refresh down and it explodes all over again, refresh again immediately. And it's just, you get the feeling that something big is happening. And then all of a sudden, after about maybe 45 minutes, it's gone. It's the refresh. I refresh it and it's disappeared. And I get a little message from TikTok saying, sorry, this video is perpetrating crime, so we've removed it. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that was a fun 45 minutes. Good while it lasted. But what I didn't know was that during that time, some other users had downloaded the video and they'd uploaded it to Twitter. So I'm watching the game and I think, you know, maybe I'll give this a shot on Instagram and see how it does over there. So I put it on Instagram, same result. But meanwhile, unbeknownst to me, in the Twitter sphere, or X, I guess we call it now, It had absolutely exploded, especially on more right-leaning political channels. Mm-hmm. And so I started getting texts and emails from people that I knew, people that I barely knew, saying like, hey, man, I just saw this. This is you, right? Did you actually steal this house? And I'm like, no, man, look at my profile. Like, I'm a real estate investor. Like, and there's several little Easter eggs in that video to tip off that I'm one of the good guys here and I'm just impersonating the bad guys. But I think that's one reason why it led to so much engagement. But so after that happened, I got contacted by news media, by Fox News. I went on the Dr. Phil show. I started going and guesting on podcasts, cable news. And all during this time, I'm getting a ton of messages and emails and DMs from people saying like, hey, sounds like you know a thing or two about squatting. You won't believe what happened to me, or you won't believe what happened to my grandma. And I'm like, tell me all about it. I want to know. And I heard the craziest stories that you could possibly imagine. And it slowly but surely started to occur to me. There is no one like repository. There's no single resource for people to go to turn to when it comes to squatting. And I learned very quickly that this was, number one, a very, very profitable crime. And number two, it was much more prolific than I'd even imagined. I think in the squatting video, I think I earned $30,000+ in profits. That actually is kind of chump change in comparison to a ton of the stories that I heard. And so after I just amalgamated all this knowledge that I was getting from all these stories about how people prevented squatters, how people got rid of their squatters. And I put it into a course called Squatter Defender. And I just condensed all the information into a course so that I can actually help people avoid this scam. And if they're getting squatted on right now, then I can help them with that.
Yeah. And you do that through your company called Defender Networks, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's the parent company for Squatter Defender and Title Fraud Defender. Those are the two spinoffs that have resulted from my viral fame.
And you also have a real estate company, which I'm sure is your investments, and McCreely Real Estate and Development.
Yeah, McCreely Realty and Development. That's me being a broker. I don't do much brokerage anymore. The phone rings, I pretty much just refer it. But the development side, house flips, apartment developments, that's all under my McCleary Realty and Development. And that's how you find me online. I'm pretty easy to find if you Google George McCleary, McCleary Realty and Development.
Yeah, and we'll put that in the notes. So if anybody out there wants to get in touch with George, it's going to be easy to do, cell phone, email, whatever. But yeah. I'm curious because you mentioned that you're kind of getting into industrial now.
Yes, sir.
And when you say industrial, do you mean like storage facilities, things like that?
Similar. What I'm building right now is a flex space, and that's sort of like a hybrid office warehouse. And there's a really big contingent of people right now that are starting little soap companies and little t-shirt companies out of their garage, and it's getting a little bit bigger, and they just need space, but they don't want to pay a whole lot for it. They just need space, but they don't need a 10,000 square foot warehouse. They need just like 1,800 square feet. They need it to be clean, air conditioned, heated, or whatever. and maybe like a few desks, a place to receive customers in case they need to have a showroom. And flex space really serves that purpose really well. And there's a high demand for it. There's a low supply. There's more players coming into the game, and you're seeing bigger and bigger projects. But the thing I like most about it is I can do it anywhere in the continental United States. You're just building a metal box. It's pretty simple, and you know, it serves a need. And these are my people, small-time entrepreneurs, people that are running startups, you know, the tinkerers. These are people that I like to work with, and so I'm able to work with them, help their businesses out, and make a nice development project for myself.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, in Vegas, they have this shopping center that is built all out of those containers that you see on trains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the intermodal containers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
From trucks, trains to whatever. And they built the entire shopping center out of these storage containers.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I can see you doing that with what you're talking about with something like that too. Cause I wonder how much one of those things costs. And then all you have to do is rehab it, get electric to it. And, you know,
yeah, it's a couple grand. So it's like, it's a self-supporting, you know, it's got a roof and some walls, and you don't have to, you know, frame it up and do a bunch of engineering on it. I've never actually done anything with containers. But these days, with technology and innovation, there's just a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Yeah.
I've seen people build ADUs out of those containers. I've seen, you know, modular, I've seen 3D printed houses that are starting to be built.
Yeah.
Not the most attractive things you've ever seen, but, you know, we need housing. We need
housing.
We need to build. And
yeah,
and anything that you can do to decrease the cost of production and increase the speed of production, I am 100% in favor of.
Yeah. And, you know, we're down about, I don't know, about 3 million houses nationwide, just in terms of inventory, you know, some type of normal inventory that we're used to. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. And that's why you see a lot of these little tiny houses coming up.
Yeah.
And so there's, like you said, there's a lot of ways to skin that cat, and you can, I hate that term because I love cats, but there's a lot of ways to do that.
It's one of those unfortunate old timey terms. I should probably update it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that would be really advantageous to do, and good for you with those flex spaces and all that. So let's get back into this, because this is just, you know, amazing to most people. Like I said, I've seen a lot of it just because of the niche that I was in with REOs and short sales and things like that.
Yeah.
And my way of dealing with squatters was my field guy, you know, was this huge guy, weighed 300 pounds, cast iron stomach. You could hit him in the stomach as hard as you want, you'd break your wrist. You know, full beard, very imposing guy, but very soft spoken. So we would just go there and in a respectful way, you know, ask them, look, you know, we're about to start rehabbing this property. We really need you out of here. I'm going to come back tomorrow. Let me know what your thoughts are about, you know, just moving this along so that we were on their side, you know, rather than on the side of the servicer or anything else.
Right.
And we made up a lot of ground by doing that, as opposed to just being, you know, badasses and going in there and saying, hey, be out by tomorrow at noon or we're going to have a problem. That doesn't work. And in the end, you brought something up that really works the best, and that's cash for keys.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of ways to accomplish it, and a lot of ways that we got to get a new term for skin the cat. But people ask me all the time, have you ever had a squatter? And I say yes, but not a really bad one. And when I say a really bad one, I mean the guys that are premeditating a scam to take over a property and get the bundle of rights. What I've had are homeless people, drug addicts, you know, people that are, you know, not mentally stable, that have kind of wandered into one of my house flips, or like a construction project that like has no doors on it or something. Mm-hmm. those people just need to be told, just like you're saying, in a gentle, compassionate way, like, hey, ma'am, you can't be here. We both know it. And you need to move along. Yeah. These are not the people that are showing a fake lease and saying, no, I actually do have the right to be here. You can call the cops. And they're, so if the cops show up, they're going to see, you know, what this guy looks like in the state of the house. And they're gonna say, okay, yeah, man, you gotta get going.
Yeah.
But what's happening is people are premeditating the scam and like picking the lock, using a YouTube video for instruction and getting in and living in a place is undetected for as long as possible, moving in furniture, moving in some of their friends, so that when the day comes, when the owner shows up to the house and says, hey, who the heck are you? And the guy says, well, I'm a tenant, and says, no, you're not, get the heck out of here. Then of course the owner most of the time calls the cops. So then the cops show up and the cop says, okay, what's going on here? And the guy says, well, I have a lease to this place, officer. As you can see, I've got a written lease. I've got all my stuff moved in. These are my friends. And yeah, no, this is where I live. And then you've got the owner saying, that's not true. This guy's a squatter. He shouldn't be in here. And the cop at that point has a choice. He can either drag this person out of the house and arrest him for break and entering along with all his friends and run the risk of being held accountable for pulling somebody out and arresting who actually has the right to be there. Or he could say, okay, we've got a he said, she said situation. You guys are going to have to go fight this out in court. It's no skin off my back if you guys have to do this. There's no violent altercation going here. There's no punches being thrown. This is a civil matter. You guys go figure it out. And that's what's happening again and again and again. And criminals, they use the internet just like we do. And they figured it out. They figured out that they can get the same rights as a tenant just by way of impersonation.
Yeah. And we know that police officers are not going to drag somebody out of a house if they present them with a lease. They're not going to do it. It's just, they're not going to expose themselves to all that liability, expose the municipality to that liability, and potentially lose their job for dragging someone out of a house that has a valid lease because they don't have the whole story. So they're going to err on the side of caution and they're going to look at George and they're going to say, hey, George, I'm sorry, man, but you know, this is a civil matter. I had a broker steal $400,000 from me. Literally, yeah, it's long story. Stole $400,000 from me. I had $96,000 in bounced checks. And when I went to the police with this and everything, the first thing they said to me was, yeah, this is a civil matter between companies and all this. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I have
$96,000 in bounced checks. That's a class 4 felony. You got to be joking. So at the end of the day, they took on the case. She was prosecuted, went to jail for 3 years. And of course, good. I never got my money back because, you know, in situations like that, the money's gone. By the time
you can't draw water from a stone.
Yeah, it's gone. So, but my point in bringing that story up is that things like this fall under civil matters. So you really need to find a way to either remedy it quickly with that person or avoid it altogether. Yeah. How do you do that? How do you avoid this?
Yeah. So yeah, you're stuck in that situation, just like you're describing, Larry, because you know, the officer is not going to put themselves at risk. And the shirt on your back is presumed to be your own unless somebody can prove otherwise. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not an easy thing to do for a police officer. And so when it comes to the prevention section, so I say the Squatter Defender course at squatterdefender.com is prevention, detection, and ejection. Those three elements. And of course, the first one is prevention. That's a pound of prevention is worth a pound of, or an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? Yeah. So how do you prevent it? So the very first thing is very intuitive. If you are out of state or you don't live right next door to your investment property that's vacant or it's just vacant, maybe it's a vacation property, chances are you're probably not swinging by there more than once, like, you know, every few days, every week or two. I promise you, your property manager isn't swinging by your vacant property more than once a week. Yes. They're just not. So
you're lucky if they're going once a week.
Yeah, exactly. Even if they're the best property manager, ask them how many doors they have. They probably have at least 200 or 300 doors. So, mm-hmm. So what do you do? So in Squatter Defender, we give you a 50% off coupon for SimpliSafe, and that gets you a self-install alarm, which installing it involves plugging it into the wall and pushing some buttons, and then with a siren, a camera, and a motion sensor. So if anybody enters your property, you can have it hooked up to call the police if someone does it, but as long as you've got it notifying your phone, if it gives you a notification on your phone that there's motion detected in the kitchen, shall we say, wherever you put the motion sensor, mm-hmm. you pull up your camera and there's a guy and he's entered into the property. And if you're kicking in a door, opening a window, you're getting access to it in some unlawful way. You got a video of it now and you can send videos to the police. I called the police many years ago on a burglary. And I was like, yeah, man, I got this guy on video. He's like, let's see it. Here's my number. Send it to me. And so I did. And that moved things along lickety split. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a squatter who's broken into a place, stuck around with a blaring alarm in the background, and there's even like a talkback camera, you can say, hey man, get the heck out of here, and they still stick around, odds are pretty good you're making the police officer's decision an easy one. You're like, hey yeah. man, there's no furniture in here, there's none of his chums in here, get this guy the heck out of here. And the cop's going to be like, okay, yeah, this is clearly, you know, a bad actor. And even though he could wave around a fake lease or something like that. But I mean, at that point, it's a completely different situation than a guy who's been there for like a month because nobody's bothered to check. He's waving to the neighbors as he mows the lawn out front. He's got a fake lease. He's got his buddies.
They think he's renting it.
Yeah. What do they know? It's been a rental all these years, right? So like, that must be the new tenant. He looks a little rough around the edges, but whatever, everything's fine. So yeah, that's the very first thing. And there's a bunch of other things that I teach in the course, but that is like the easiest, most intuitive, low hanging fruit. And with the 50% off coupon that I offer, it's like $100 or something. It's
so nothing. One more time. So it's $100 for the course.
No, the course is $199, but with the 50% off coupon, you get all that, like the siren, the camera, everything you need, and it's portable. You just unplug it and put really? It in your next unit. Yeah.
That is a bargain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's stupid crazy. Cheap. Yeah.
Now, can someone from Illinois, for instance, in Chicago Metro, where, of course, we never have squatters, we never have any problems like that.
Of course
but
not.
But if we did, can we contact... What's the name again? Defender.
Oh, Defender Networks is the name of my company, but Squatter Defender is the name of the course that you take online. You can finish it in an afternoon, but I just really purposefully made it very dense. Like every single lesson has something really important. And it's just it's an amalgamation of all the stuff, all the information that I gathered after going viral and becoming like a lightning rod for this type of information. I was very uniquely positioned to get all this information, maybe more than anybody ever. And so that's how I just condensed it all into a little course so that landlords can protect themselves.
And national. So it's not just in Oregon, but if somebody from Chicago Metro called you or went on your site, whatever, mm-hmm. ordered this, they can do that too. Get the same. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's cheap, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I say that it's less than half an hour of your lawyer's time and calling your lawyer is one thing that you can do. It's one of what I call the conventional methods, but there's a ton of other ways to do it. And some of them are what I like to call unconventional methods. And some of them I really cannot endorse. And other ones I advise, explicitly advise against doing, like for instance, pointing a gun at your squatter and escorting him out of the property at gunpoint.
You will get arrested in Illinois if you do that.
Yeah, you just can't do that. And there's been multiple instances, unfortunately, after you study enough of these cases, you see a little bit of everything. There's been multiple instances where, unfortunately, the homeowner has been unalived by the squatter, and other cases where the homeowner has unalived the squatter and then been held criminally liable for it.
100%.
And you just got to be really careful, because if you make a rash decision in these moments, it can compromise your safety and your freedom, for that matter.
So I'm like one of the many people in this country. I'm a concealed carry permit holder. And one of the reasons for that is, you know, we were walking into vacant places in nasty areas that we didn't know what we were walking into. And so, you know, I've never had to use, nor do I want to ever have to use my gun. But, you know, in Illinois, there are strict rules. If you brandish your weapon when you're wearing it, you're going.
Yeah.
You're going. I mean, there's, you have to be extremely careful. Now, in other states like Florida, you know, or Vegas or Nevada, you can, you know, walk on the bus with a 44 on your hip, open carry, and you're good to go. So it's all different. And just like real estate, gun laws are local, real estate is all local. Right. And so you got to be really, really careful about taking things into your own hands, thinking you're in the right, because there's a really good chance you're not.
And you're also dealing with very desperate people. And when you raise the stakes like that, and so I am definitely not, I'm not an anti-gun person by any stretch of the imagination, but if you are bringing into the situation by raising the stakes, you know, with a firearm, there's a good chance that the other person will raise the stakes to the degree that they feel necessary to,
point.
And they have less to lose than you do 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're not of sound mind like you are. That's not a person that you want to have a confrontation.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think it's really important to keep these things in mind, because you could get in a lot of hot water real quickly. I was going to ask you, there was some, so what's like, give me a horror story. Like, like how bad can this really get? So I got a vacant property. I'm about to start rehabbing it in a couple of weeks. I go by there. There's someone living in the property. Now, how bad can that get? Give us some, you know, real life situations.
Right. So the story, one story that I like to tell involves a sort of a real estate celebrity up here in the Northwest. And if you follow Bigger Pockets at the Bigger Pockets conference, she was the keynote speaker and a host of the last year's Bigger Pockets convention. And she was about to go on stage to start the event, to kick everything off. Her phone rings. It's her property manager and says, "Hey, guess what? We got somebody in one of your Queen Anne properties." And Queen Anne's a really nice neighborhood in Seattle. It's rents for like $3,000 or $4,000 or something. And somebody's in there. And she says, "Well, get them out." And they say, "Well, we tried, but you know, the cops are saying they're not going to do anything about it." And suddenly it dawns on her, because this is not her first rodeo. She's got colleagues that have had this happen to them. She's like, "Oh no, I've got a squatter." But you know, she puts her game face on. She goes out. She talks to the crowd. But then afterwards, she flies home and she actually goes and confronts these people. And sure enough, it's a couple of professional squatters. They've moved in, their buddies. They're actually creating OnlyFans content within her place. They installed a stripper pole, a DJ booth, and they actually moved in a bunch of like a puppy mill, like with there's animals, and they were all defecating on the floor and chewing up the kitchen cabinets. They just overnight turned this place into this den of iniquity. So she, of course, is beside herself. So she calls up the police, and sure enough, like they're like, "Yeah, man, we can't do anything. Sorry, you're just on your own here." And so luckily for her, unlike most people, she has tens of thousands of social media followers for real estate specifically. And she says, "You're not going to believe what's happening to me." And because of like the OnlyFans angle, the stripper pole, the whole thing, the story just catches fire. And suddenly there's all this pressure on the district attorney. So She starts working with an attorney who has a relationship with the DA. The DA starts getting phone calls. She starts getting pressure. And pretty soon, eventually, they realize, okay, clearly these people are bad actors. And they actually verify their identities by way of she actually stood outside the unit for hours and said, oh, is this the mail? And so she grabs the mail and took a picture of it, puts it in the mailbox. So she didn't steal it. She just, you know, verified that these people were getting mail and what mm-hmm. their names were. And sure enough, these people have a rap sheet this long. They're running a professional theft ring of stolen goods, retail goods out of the apartment, which of course they're not paying for, and they've got a fake lease and everything. And so this has been going on for a little bit. So they got a full-blown scam going out of the place. So eventually, after weeks and weeks, the DA finally says, like, okay, chief of police, you got to get in on this. And so they conduct a raid. Like, the news is there, the cops are all there, they bust in, they arrest them. And this story has a happy ending in that regard. But if you look it up, it's at Lekha Devatha. She's a friend of mine. And you can look up the story. There's a bunch of news stories on it, and they point out the stripper pole, so it caught fire. But what you don't hear and what they don't tell you on the news is the epilogue. You know, what happened at the end? Yeah, these people are arrested. They were brought to justice, and that makes everybody feel better. But what happened to Lekha? Like, how much money did she lose? How much was she inconvenienced? How many hours of her life were taken away from this? And the answer to that was not what I was expecting. I'm like, well, did insurance cover it? She said, well, I got some vandalism coverage, but there's coverage limits on that. And then they're like, well, what about, like, I was like, what about burglary, breaking and entering? And she's like, well, ultimately I got some coverage, but the amount of damage that they did to the unit was huge. They did about like something like $60,000 worth of damage. And then she had the court fees, her fees to her lawyer, that because her lawyer had to go through some motions to, you know, contact the DA. She was working on her behalf every single day. And especially after this case got famous, she was like the center of attention. So she had a big bill for that. And altogether, in this story that actually has a kind of a happy ending, I think it took like 5 or 6 weeks start to finish, which in squatter time is best case scenario, like absolute best case scenario, not 12 months, not 14 or 18 months, like in some cases. She was out almost $100,000 from this whole affair. And
oh man,
this is a story with a happy ending, if you want to think about it like that.
Happy to who? yeah, I mean, that's tough, but it happens all the time. Hopefully not to that degree to most people.
Yeah.
And, you know, just getting back a little bit to what we were talking about in terms of mm-hmm. how do you handle a squatter? You know, is it, do you go in gangbusters kicking down the door and get out of here? You got till noon or I'm coming back. Or do you, for me, I think the way to always go about this is what you suggested. And that is compassion wins. Treat people with respect. They're in a tough situation. You know, the hardest part of my job when I was working with Fannie and Freddie and all these large servicers that were literally just shoving listings down my throat during that period of time from 2008 to about 2016-17 is that first knock on the door. You know, when you have, and by the time I'm knocking on the door, they've been getting mail for 6 months already about mm-hmm. you know, you're behind, we need to talk. But and you know what people do, fight or flight, they fly away, and it's fright, right? Because right. So they stop reading their mail and all that. So by the time I'm posting something on their door or knocking on their door, they know what's up. But it doesn't make it any less difficult because they're really in a tough situation. I mean, you know, people get caught in situations and they don't know how to get out of them, and they do their best, and they sometimes just start to linger in that moment. So, you know, I'm knocking on the door and, you know, I always took the position, I'm on your side. I get it. You know, no one's going to come here and kick you out of the house. That's not the way it works. In Illinois. We're a judicial foreclosure state. So this is my next question.
Yeah.
Are squatters handled differently? Like, is Oregon a judicial foreclosure state, or is it the opposite of that?
If you'd asked me in 2010 when I was working for an REO broker, I 100% would have been able to tell you that. Now I'm not entirely certain, to be honest with you.
Okay, so go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, no, it's so I agree with you. So in the context of somebody who's like behind on their mortgage, they're losing their house. That's a sad story. This is a person whose, you know, life has, you know, it's gone a different direction than they thought. They can't make their payments. And that's a sad story. And in that situation, absolutely, compassion is the right angle. And same with holdover tenants. I always like to say, yeah, holdover tenants and people that are, you know, getting kicked out of their house because it's being foreclosed, these are not squatters. People like to call them squatters sometimes, but they're really not. Squatters are people that never had the right to be there in the first place. So with those people, like the people that you were dealing with, Larry, I 100% agree that compassion is a good angle. But we may have a difference of opinion on this, but when it comes to squatters, the people that never had the right to be there in the first place, compassion is your enemy. That these people are, they have malevolent intent. They're here to steal from you, to extract as much value from you as possible. And that is the be all end all of the goal. And that they're going to take advantage and juice any ounce of compassion that you throw their direction.
Yeah. Good point.
So you can't go that route. And it goes against my compassionate nature to say that, but unfortunately there are just some bad apples out there.
Yeah.
So they know how to work
the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know how to work the system. So any little bit you give them, from what I'm hearing, they're going to take advantage of that and make your situation even more difficult to unravel.
Totally.
Hey, we're going to take a 30-second break, but when we come back, I want to get into title and deed theft, because another big one.
Oh, yeah. Buckle up.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, everybody, we are back with George McCleary, and George is the founder and owner of McCleary Realty and Development in Portland, and also Defender Network, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So we've been talking about squatters and some of the scams that are still pretty prevalent in real estate. You know, there's been a lot of changes in real estate just in the last couple of months, you know, last month and a half or so.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing that hasn't changed is we still have all these scams. Now, do you see the squatting epidemic at the same level it might have been back, like when I was doing REOs big time, it was 95% of my business? Or has it kind of tailed off a little bit because the REO market isn't that big? There aren't as many vacant properties out there.
I would say that it's actually gotten worse. You heard about it back then, and it sounds like if you're an REO broker, then yeah, you're going to be confronted with that more than the next guy, because taking over a house that belongs to a bank that's clearly vacant, and then, you know, there's going to be very little impediment to getting a squatter in there. You know, you're going to get some more of those with the bank owned properties, and those aren't as prevalent these days. But what has happened is that landlord tenant law, in general terms, has afforded more and more rights to tenants over the past decade and a half. Mm-hmm. And as those rights have gone up, it's gotten harder and harder to evict people. And that's for non-payment of rent, or their dog bites them, or whatever. It's harder and harder to get rid of them. So, and that's by going by way of eviction, but there's no way to actually like really track it. But you have the one reason why I made that video and why it went so viral is it's just been in the news so much more lately because there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between just how bad the crime is versus how often people are actually being held accountable for it. Mm-hmm. And people are seeing that and thinking, oh boy, that's just terrible. But then there's also a subset of people that are thinking, huh, this sounds like an opportunity. Maybe I should do this. Rent is expensive. Wouldn't it be nice if it was not expensive? And oh, how about free? And I'm not going to be arrested. Yeah, this could work. So I actually think it's actually gotten worse.
Wow. That's too bad to hear, but you know, people learn how to do things. They glom on to, you know, things like this. And they learn, and then they see things and they give it a shot, and there you go. Next thing they know, they're living for free in someone else's property. So let's talk about, because this is a little more difficult, I think, for a lot of people to understand. Mm-hmm. How can somebody steal your title? Now, I'm a title agent. So I have a little bit more knowledge about this stuff than the average person does. But before I was a title agent, I really didn't. So how do people get their title or deed stolen out from under them? It seems impossible to do that.
It sounds impossible. And when I first heard about this, I was similarly incredulous. I'm thinking, how is this even possible? Like, there's so many safeguards, you know, with mortgage companies and title companies and county recorder offices. But the fact of the matter is, the way that title is transferred is by a simple piece of paper that has a notarized signature from the person who's buying the house, the grantor, grantee, address, legal description. And you bring it to the recorder's office and they say, all right, we got signatures here. We got a notary stamp. We got an address. Looks like Larry's selling his house to George. Here you go. Boom. It's recorded. You don't need to go through a title office to actually pass title from one person to another. Mm-hmm. Title offices sell title insurance, and you need to have title insurance if you're going to be a real estate investor and you want to be safe. So, you know, you should always go through escrow, but not everybody does. You can retitle things, and I've done it, retitling properties into LLCs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you fill out a deed, and the measure of security on it is the notary stamp. That's the way of saying, like, hey, somebody actually saw this guy sign this thing, but it's a stamp. It's not a watermark on a $100 bill. It's not like a driver's license hologram or anything like that. It's a rubber stamp. It has unchanged for probably 200 years. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, it presents an opportunity for forgery, very easily forged, actually. So what happens is you got a property. It's titled in, you know, it's entitled in Larry's LLC. And I come along and I say, like, well, first, there's a couple ways to do it. But first way is I say, hi, I'm Larry. You'll notice this perfect fake ID that I got off the dark web says that I'm Larry. And, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and sell this property. And you should send the proceeds to this dark web bank account that I also got, also pretending to be Larry. Or I could also have entitled the property from Larry's LLC to the identity that I've stolen off of the dark net that has a social security number, a bank account. It's got a full name and a driver's license with my mug on it. That looks absolutely perfect. You know, it's instead of George McCleary, it's Bob Jones. Bob Jones buys the property from Larry for, let's say, 200 grand and takes the deed down to the office. They don't check to see that money's transferred or anything. It's just titled under this assumed identity. Mm-hmm. So then after Bob now owns the property, I'm pretending to be a Bob, right? So then I need to unload this property, and I've checked it beforehand to make sure there's no mortgage liens on it. There's no contractor liens. You know, I looked it up to make sure that once I sell this property, all that money is just going to go straight to me. Mm-hmm. So I call up my local wholesaler and I say, hey, it's my name's Bob. And I just bought this property from Larry for a steal, and I just want to make a quick profit on it. What's up with 205K, what do you say? And the wholesaler looks it up on Zillow, sees that it's worth, you know, 325, and says, yeah, no, I'll do that deal. So he opens up escrow. Escrow says, oh, hey, Bob. All right. Fill out your information here. Name, social, all your stuff. And I got it. And signature is a perfect match. So they send out their notary. I sign it. The property gets sold. Proceeds get wired to my bank account. And I am off in the sunset. Meanwhile, Larry, the original owner of the property, he doesn't know anything. Nobody's notifying him. He's two owners ago. But then when he shows up one day and says, who are you wiring my property? Or why are you building a house on my vacant land? Which is actually happens a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. The person says, oh, well, I bought the property from Bob. Or actually, no, I bought it from the wholesaler. And so, what's going on? And so then you've got a huge mess to unravel. And your equity, it's gone. God. So then you call up your title agent and you say, hey, man, remember that property I bought like 10 years ago? Well, I got deed frauded. Can you check my title policy to see, you know, if I got coverage here? And they pulled up and chances are it's an Alta owner's policy. So you probably sold a handful of those if you were a title agent, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Alta owner's policy does not protect against fraud and impersonation after you buy the property. It protects on the date you buy the property into the past. Mm-hmm. So if something went wrong before you bought the property, they missed it, they'll fix it. They'll reimburse you. Oh, there's a lien. Some guy painted the house, didn't get paid. You know, they'll pay him off. Everything's fine. But if you get deed frauded, if there's fraud and impersonation, and it's after the policy date, the Alta owner's policy does not cover that.
Of course not. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in a world of hurt at that point.
Wow. What, you know, I'm sorry I'm using all these Halloween terms, but what a scary situation. I mean, how do you unravel that once it happens?
You call up so there's a couple lawyers I know that specialize in it, and you need what's called a quiet title lawsuit or an action to quiet title. Because if you call up the recorder's office and you're like, yo, I mean, deed fraud, et cetera, even if like it's already been like proven that this has already happened, they're like, well, yeah, we can't just alter the chain of title without a court order. Like we can't just, you know, reverse it. So you got to get a court order for this, and then we'll change the title, the title chain, and we'll give it back to Larry. But for right now, no, we can't do that. Sorry. Let us know if you want to record another document with a rubber stamp.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just, you know, on some level, I'd much rather have someone squatting in my property than this deed fraud and title fraud, because once that happens, you're screwed, man. I mean, you are spending gobs of money with an attorney to, like you said, quiet title. But man, there's a lot of unwinding and bells to unring once you start going down that road. And I'm pretty sure your attorney's not doing that for free.
No, it's going to cost you some pretty serious money. It's not like an ungodly sum of money. Like this guy says, like the minimum that he's ever had someone spend was like $5,000, which I was like, okay, well, that's not so bad. But that's when it's relatively simple. In the scenario that I described, there's a lot of stakeholders along the way that mm-hmm. are all kind of like similarly screwed. And so if you have to do an action to quiet title, like, you know, who's eventually going to pay, you know, what's like, whose pocket is this going to come out of? Because these people are hardly ever caught. And just like in your case, Larry, where that lady owed you a bunch of money, you know, the money's probably gone.
Yeah, it's
so gone. Who's the deep pocket? Who's going to pay for it? And so the only thing that you can really do is, so there's a couple ways to do it, but I have a better way, I promise. Is just to wake up every morning with your morning coffee, refresh the page of your county assessor, and just check and make sure it's still in Larry's LLC. Okay, mm-hmm. Tuesday, Larry's LLC. Wednesday, Larry's LLC. Or you go to titlefrauddefender.com. That's the company I started. And we just monitor your title. It's a few bucks a month. And we'll let you know if anything if anything changes, if it gets tampered
with. Now, how many homeowners do that, George? Like, do homeowners contact you and say, hey, I want you to monitor my title? It's my personal property, my primary property. And do homeowners have you do that as well?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's because it doesn't need to be an investment property. And so that's what there's a market leader in the space called Home Title Lock, and they charge $20 a month. But we have really slick, state-of-the-art software, and I'm doing it at a much lower cost and not as much slick marketing and whatnot. But that's one reason why I go on these podcasts, so I can inform people that this can happen. And then also to let them know that it doesn't have to be that expensive. We can do the whole thing we can monitor it and let them know for a few bucks a month. Because if you know right away, then you can't get your equity stolen. Then you sound the alarms, and that's the bad thing, is getting your equity stolen. Like, you still
got to drill that down, because I want people to know exactly how, you know, you're Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner. You've lived in your house for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. And you want to have somebody, because of all this nonsense going on out there, you want to have somebody monitoring your title.
Yeah.
So one more time, how do they get in touch with you? How much does it cost for them to do that, whether they're an investor or just a homeowner?
So titlefrauddefender.com, that's the name of the company that we have the title monitoring service for. And so if you go to titlefrauddefender.com, you just sign up to an account, and it's a cost per property. And so if you just have one house, I think it's like $5 a month. And if you have a big portfolio, then it goes down as you add more properties to it. But what I see a lot of people doing is buying a package for, like, you know, I think the longest term we offer is like 3 years. And so they'll put all four of their properties on a 3-year term, but then sometimes people will sell the property. So then they can take it out, scales down to three, but then they can add one more. You can expand and contract it as much as you want. But the lowest cost, I think once you have like 11 or more properties, it's down to like $2 a month or something. Super, super silly.
That's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah.
And particularly for homeowners too, because that's your, you know, you're often living in your retirement, right?
Yeah.
So that's a huge, huge deal. I would encourage all homeowners to get with George and do that. I'm not doing that now, but I'm going to, because what I'll do is I'll, you know, hook up with your company and I'll sign up for 3 years at $5 a month. That's $180. I'm in. So I know for the next three. So what happens though, real quick, because we're getting close here, but what happens if you go on and you find that, hey, there's something crazy going on here? What happens then? What does that trigger?
So if you sign up, it's in Larry's LLC, and then somebody tries to steal your title or transfer your title, you get a notification right away. And it says, hey, Larry, we noticed a change in your title. Go take a look. Let's make sure this is cool. But the thing is, occasionally they'll update things in title offices, like change street to ST or something like that. So then you go on there and nothing's the matter. Everything's cool. You push the everything's fine button. And that's already happened to some of our customers, and that's been just fine. Of course, they're alarmed, like, uh-oh. But then, you know, they know it's working, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you log in there, and you say, hey, Larry, go check your title. It looks like there's been a change. And suddenly it's in the name of a stranger. Then you know something's wrong. And so at that point, part of the service, what it includes is us basically helping you and telling you what to do. So what you do next is you go to the title office and you say, like, hey, saw this change, want to confirm it, because this was unauthorized. And they'll be like, oh, well, let's check. Okay, yeah, looks like we got a title change into Bob's name just a couple of days ago, and we just recorded it. And you say, okay, that was fraudulent. I'm going to file an affidavit for false filing. This is wrong. So then you call up the title company. You make sure that nothing could ever happen with the title. And you basically just go through a series of steps. And, you know, you call the police, you call the DA, you make sure that all the alarm bells are going off so that nobody can sell the property. Nobody can take out any sort of debt against the property, any mortgage. And because that's another thing to do, instead of selling it, they'll take out loans against a fully paid off property. So at that point, that's when the thief has just kind of stopped in his tracks. There's no way he can extract your equity. And so basically at that point, you have to figure out a way to get the title back in your name. And so that's where our service stops. Okay. You actually have to talk to a lawyer.
So catching this earlier, does that give you more of a chance to remedy it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. No. So if the longer this goes, the worse it gets and the more expensive and tougher it is to unravel. Because remember, in that scenario I was describing, more and more parties start piling up with interest in this property. And if you just bought a property and someone says, oh, no, I'm going to go ahead and take this back, I'm like, well, wait a second. I just paid a few hundred grand for this. Oh, no, you don't.
Yeah.
So that's when things get bad. But really, it's the theft of your equity that you're trying to prevent. Yeah. And if you know about it right away, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy stuff. George, it has been awesome having you on. I mean,
yeah,
as a former large REO agent, I was really interested in all of this and you just really drilled it down. It's a great service you're providing to people. If you're a homeowner out there, I would get in touch with George at one more time on the title.
So titlefrauddefender.com, that's where you get the title monitoring software. It's just a few bucks a month. And then squatterdefender.com, that is the course. That's $199. However, Larry, for your listeners that have stuck around here to the end, if you enter in the promo code Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, then that'll get you 20% off on either one of those products. And so I encourage you to go there, use the promo code Larry.
I'll put that in the notes as well.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
Terrific.
I'll get that in the notes.
Oh, and find me on social media. Just Google George McCleary, LinkedIn, TikTok. That I'm easy to find.
Yeah. George is easy to find. Great information. And have a great, are you a Ducks fan or what, George?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
Of course
go
you
Ducks.
Are. I love the Ducks. How can you not love the Ducks? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we play Illinois coming up, Prince, actually. It's
actually
a good game. Yeah.
Oh, when is that? I got to check that out.
Is it this weekend or is it next weekend?
Is it?
Yeah,
I'll check it out. Yeah, I always love seeing their uniforms and, you know, the Ducks are awesome.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the support.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, man. Good luck with everything you're doing and we'll talk to you down the road.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Larry. See you next
time. All
right,
bud. See ya. All right, everybody, that was George McCleary, and George just offered us some great, great information. Remember, check him out online. He's easy to find, George McCleary, and he's going to help you with all these potential scams that do go on in the real estate world out there. So thanks for joining us, guys. Be sure to join us next week. We got another great guest coming up. All of George's information is going to be in our notes. So if you want to get in touch with him, reach out. Until then, peace, go vote, and have yourself a great day.
Thanks for joining us on Real Estate Radio with your host, Larry Shagman, the real estate therapist and top producing broker. Now go to TrustedAgentUSA.com and save thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Illinois license number 475-145-795. Tune in next week for the ultimate real estate radio experience.